Okay, open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Well, look at the positive side, honey. We could live in Northeast Wyoming right now. There's no response. A long time ago, I got to studying in the Bible, and I knew there was particular things that Jesus did with the blood, and he did them on purpose. And the Holy Spirit impressed on me, he said, there's seven things that you need to know about that Jesus did with the blood. I thought, wow. So I started chasing those seven things around, trying to find out. And there's more, but there's seven things. And I had no idea about the Stations of the Cross in the Catholic Church. Had no idea about that at the time. Later on, I found out about the Stations of the Cross, and I thought, that's cool. But every time Jesus did something with the blood, it caused redemption for us in some area. And Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There's no remission. There always has to be shedding of blood. That's one thing you might tell somebody if you find somebody that decides they want to keep the old covenant law. Ask them where they do their sacrifices. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Now, when we think of the resurrection, we need to also draw attention to his death on the cross and shedding of blood, so we can walk in his victory. The shedding of that blood, there's victory in that blood. Now let's go to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 17 says, there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goes in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat and put it upon the horns of the altar round about, and he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger seven times and cleanse it and hollow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Now, every time they talk about these different animals, these are all significant of Jesus. And in fact, the bullock, that's the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet is a bullock. And the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet speaks of the cross. Isn't that cool? But here I want you to understand that the number seven is significant to God. See, the church has lost some important lessons from the Bible because they're afraid of numerology. Don't get into it like you're trying to worship the devil or nothing, but understand that numbers are significant to God. You know, the number seven is definitely significant to God. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Now, right there, it's showing us that there was different reasons for the shedding of blood. There's different reasons for different parts of the blood. Let's look at the first place that he shed blood at. Look at Luke chapter 22. Verse 44. "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And while he yet spoke, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" Well, I want you to look at verse 42, and I want you to notice a particular prayer that Jesus said. Saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." So at the garden, at that rock of Gethsemane, what was redeemed for us when Jesus shed blood there? It was our willpower. It was our willpower. Adam lost willpower in the garden, and Jesus got it back in the garden. Now, Jesus also prayed a particular prayer right there. It's called the prayer of consecration. And it was only in this instance where it's proper to pray the prayer of consecration. And he said, "If it be thy will." Now, there's a lot of people that try to pray the prayer of consecration, and they use it in areas that they don't have any business using that prayer. Because they'll say something like this: "Father, we know that you desire us to be healed. If it be thy will, let us be healed." That's doubt and unbelief. They just gave themselves the back door to failure. Because if they don't get healed, they say, "Well, that must not have been his will." That's not biblically sound. God makes it very, very clear that he wants you to be healed. But in this instance, Jesus knew what was coming down the road. And nobody had ever done that before. Nobody had ever done what he was fixing to do. He had never been out of the presence of the Father. He had never been out of contact with him. And he knew he was about to be cut off from him. And he knew that he was going to go to hell and be subject to the devil. Nobody had ever done that. He said, "Man, if there's any other way, nevertheless, if it be thy will." That was a prayer of consecration. But when he shed his blood, right there, he got our willpower back. Go to Matthew chapter 27, verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. At the whipping post, what was redeemed? It was our health. I read somewhere that there's 39 root diseases. And evidently, Jesus got 39 stripes. Sickness is a curse for breaking the law. In Deuteronomy, when it describes the blessings, right after the blessings, it goes in there and describes all the curses that fall on you if you break this law, if you break this covenant. And it started talking about all these sicknesses. And then it said, and even sicknesses that aren't named will come on you. So sicknesses that the devil hadn't even come up with was part of the curse of the law. But Jesus went to that whipping post and got those stripes on his back and shed blood. That means there's redemption. Now, look at Galatians chapter 3. I encourage you, if at any time in your life you ever feel like God is punishing you for something, or may punish you for something, go to this verse, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Every time you read those two verses, read verse 29. If you be Christ's, and if you're born again, you are Christ's. If you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Now, sickness is a curse for breaking the law. Right there, we just found out that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, as symbolized in the broken body, in the Last Supper, when we take communion. We look at that bread and we see those stripes in his body. We see that broken body. We're receiving healing in the Holy Communion. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, we were just there, talks about this cruel form of punishment. You know, the cat of nine nails that they used to put those stripes on his back. 39 times. Because 40 was supposed to be fatal. It wasn't like a little whip like we see on the movies. These cat o' nine nails had pieces of bone and glass and iron and stuff. Sharp pieces, jagged pieces of rock weaved into these whips, so that when they laid across the back, they would sink in and get a hold of meat, and then they would drag them across so that it would rip pieces of flesh and skin off of their body. That's the kind of whipping that Jesus took. It wasn't just lashes. It was a terrible shredding of his body. It was so bad that you couldn't even recognize him as being a human when he was on the cross. It was so bad that when the Roman soldier looked up, he said, truly, this is the Son of God. This Roman soldier didn't know God from a goat. But at that point, when he looked up to Jesus, he knew there's something different. He knew. He knew in his heart who this was. Amen? You like Nebuchadnezzar, when he's through Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire. And he looked down there, and he seen Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego standing there talking to somebody. And he said, that's the Son of God. How did he know? Everybody is going to know. Everybody is going to know. The Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. I don't care if anybody has never even heard of Jesus, never had any teaching. At that day, they will know him. They will know, then there will be no doubt who that is. But this was the cruelest form of punishment that they could come up with. Now look at Psalms chapter 129. Another interesting thing about that day and time is when you committed a crime, you either got scourged or you got crucified. But nobody ever got scourged and crucified. Jesus had to go through all of it for us. Always remember this. If there was something that Jesus didn't do, we'd have to go through it. But thank God he went through all of it. Amen. Psalm chapter 129, verse 30, verse 3 says, the plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrow. And they were digging as deep as they could on his back. They were trying to do as much damage as they possibly could do. Now go to Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. So, decree over yourself that you command every sickness and disease to leave your life in Jesus' name. Your healing has been paid for by the Master. You are free in the name of Jesus. One thing about a leper, one time he showed up to Jesus, and Jesus healed him. And Jesus said, now take your pigeon, and go to the high priest, and have him pronounce you clean. Now, what happened when you got born again? You got made kings and priests. You can pronounce yourself clean in the name of Jesus. Clean of disease. Clean of sickness. Amen. You should be speaking life over your body, especially when you get attacked. You should be speaking healing over your body. Now here's a biggie. Let's go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, verse 26. It said, then released he Barabbas back unto them. When he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now, one thing about this is he got beaten and bruised. He was beaten for us. Means he had internally an intense beating. So what was redeemed for us at this time? Our forgiveness and liberty from the hold of transgressions and iniquities. Remember Isaiah 53 verse 5 talks about this beaten and bruised for us. See, a lot of times we're just looking for some healing from a sickness or a disease that has attacked us. But see, sometimes people get wounded inside. Sometimes, you know, there have been different people that have maybe been victims of sexual abuse. They've been victims of verbal abuse. Maybe they've been victims of physical abuse. There are different issues that sometimes happen to small children or kids, you know, or even later when they grow up. But sometimes there's these deep hurts inside of people that they don't know how to deal with. And the only thing that can fix these deep hurts is the blood of Jesus. And He will fix those. But you have to open up and let Him in. Just like that picture shows, you know, where Jesus is standing outside knocking on the door. There's no doorknob on the outside. There's no handle on the outside. He has to be let in. Too many times people hold on to that and keep it covered up, keep it buried, because they don't want to deal with the hurt. But what they don't understand is that once the light enters into that spot, it takes the pain away. It may hurt for a little while you're dealing with it, but Jesus will shine His light into that area and fix it. But you have to let Him do it. We're going to stop there. I'll say this. That transgression is something that you do with full knowledge. That it is a wrong thing to do. It's a willful sin. Iniquity is a weakness or a fault that maybe you were born with. Sometimes they say, like father, like son. You know, there's a saying that goes around saying, you know, do what I tell you. Don't do what I do. Do what I tell you. That never works. Little kids are going to do what they see you do almost 100% of the time until they get old enough to make their own decisions. They may say, you know, I watched my dad and he was an idiot. He did this and he did that and I'm not doing that. I'm not going to live my life like that. And they may make a quality decision to say, no, it's stopping here. But almost every time, that little kid's going to see dad doing something and he say, you know, that's the way dad did it. I'm destined to be that way. That's just the way I am. I'm going to be that way. It's good and bad. I've seen little kids pick up and they'll see what the adults do in their life and they'll copy it. I've seen little Anastasia. She had watched us pray for people so many times and pray for her so many times. So she just figured that's what she was supposed to do. She was on the playground and her little friend crashed on the playground. And she went over there and her little friend was laying there crying and she just started praying for her. And her teacher, her teacher called us and said she just started crying. This little girl, first grade girl, kindergarten girl. They're out there praying for her friend. Because that's what she's seen. See, it goes good and bad. But they're going to do what they see you do. Jesus even did that. He said, I only do what I see my Father do. Command every grip of transgression and iniquity to be broken off from your life now in the name of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, let there be restoration of wholeness in your life. No more transgression, no more iniquity in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we thank you for Holy Spirit who is here to teach us and guide us, show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. He's always here to teach us. He is the teacher of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. We're the body. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. And we thank you for our redemption and freedom through the blood of Jesus. Amen. All right. We don't have some cookies and we don't have some coffee, so go to the mission field.